Would you join me now in the book of Hosea, and we'll spend a few moments here before our prayer time. Hosea chapter 14, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. If you get to Joel, you've gone a bit too far, but we're there at the end of Hosea's prophecy, the 14th chapter. There's some really sweet verses here. And we'll just start our reading with verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. For in thee the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. Now, the last time we were considering these thoughts about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, we were looking at an immoral woman who, in repentance, discovered some wonderful things about our Lord Jesus. She found him to be like, and this was his illustration, a merciful creditor. And he put that before he was a Pharisee. And he said, it's like two men standing before a creditor, and one owes 50 denarii, and other owes 500. And so he graciously forgives both. Now, which one will love them more? Simon the Pharisee said, well, I suppose the one that owed 500 denarii. Well, you have judged correctly, our Lord says. And you see this woman, and he goes on to describe all that she has done, and we see what the presence of Jesus is like in those who are touched by him, who have received that mercy, who have been washed and cleansed and redeemed. Now, tonight we find here the people of God, not just an individual, but the lot of them, repenting. Oh, and they take great, wonderful, stirring words with them. Take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. And now, that to show how well they have turned, they say this: Assyria will not save us, will not ride on horses. In other words, we won't go down to Egypt either. We won't say our God to the work of our hands, because God helps those who help themselves. Well, no, it doesn't say that. It says, in thee the orphan, the helpless, finds mercy. We find the people of God repenting, and repenting really well. They're turning from not just sin, from who they are in Adam, the inclinations. It's always so easy to go up to Assyria, to do it like Egypt does it. And they said, ah, enough of that. And the Lord then says, I will heal that, verse 4. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. This is one of these promises that they took with them into Babylon. And there they were mulling over their condition. They were mulling over, what did we do? What did we not do? What's God like? Why did we offend him so? Why did this happen? And off on they thought. And then they look around them, and then they get this word from Jeremiah that comes back to them and says, you're going to be there for decades. But they've got this. It's one of those embers. You sort of blow on it from time to time. Just make sure it's still glowing. There's still heat there. There's still warmth. Listen, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Now, it's a glorious promise, isn't it? And then the Lord likens all of this to a real commonplace experience that everyone has seen, everyone has experienced and tasted. He says, I will be like the dew to Israel. I'll be like the dew. Sometimes he's like a rushing mighty wind. Sometimes he's like a gently flowing stream. Sometimes he's like a torrential rain. Sometimes it's like the dew. Now, what does that mean? That he comes quietly, almost imperceptibly, that he steals upon the heart, that there is this sense of benediction that you weren't aware of, and all of a sudden you are. All of a sudden it's there. And you may have been totally unconscious of the moving of God's Spirit, but then there it is. There he is, like the dew. And you see this beautiful, glistening bedecking of all the blades of grass out in the field, and somehow your soul feels like that. Oh, he's visited me so silently, so quietly, so peacefully. But oh, look at what it does. He will blossom, going on in verse 5. He will blossom like the lily. We need some blooming Christians, don't we? We need Christians that have that glory about them of the lily. They have that fragrance about them. And this is the effect of that heavenly dew falling upon the people of God. They're like that lily. It says that he will blossom like the lily. It's part of the promise, part of the effect. And then he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. There's a cedar of Lebanon on North Street. You pass it a lot. You may not be totally aware of it, but there it is. You know where, can you picture in your mind where AutoZone is? It's AutoZone, right, Jeff? And there's this little, they call it a little island. It's about yay big. It's just grass beside the street that goes beside it, and then their parking lot, and there's this little strip of grass and a tree right there next to AutoZone. It's a cedar of Lebanon. And I look at that and I think I'd like to cut it down and use the wood, but I think, how does it make a living there? Of course, it probably made a better living once upon a time when it had a little bit more room, but it's got roots there, and it's able to extract from the ground that which God gives it, and it's still alive, at least last I saw it was. I don't know. How old do you think that is? Guess? 110 years? Okay. Pretty impressive, isn't it? All the way from Lebanon to East Texas. The dew will make God's people take root like that. This is how you explain the existence of Israel in the flesh still. This is how you explain the existence of the church still. God is for her. And it makes the people of God put down those roots, and she finds that which God gives to her. And it's a glorious thing, isn't it? Now, there are a couple of other interesting places, famous places that speak of what the dew is like and what the dew has been used for and how God has blessed his people with it. We won't make too much of this, except that the people, it would not be lost on an Israelite. Let me remind you of this one. It's over in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. And I don't know how many people would think upon this, but it would be somewhere in the back of their understanding. It came about at evening that the quail came up and it covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. You remember this? You know where it's going? And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there's a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." I would say it's unrepeatable, except that it happened for 40 years. And then when they came into the land of Israel, it stopped. And I'm not saying it's never happened since, but the Bible records no instances of it. But God used that to feed his people. With the dew came this, God rained upon them bread, as he put it. And they would go out and find this stuff. And it's described like how it looked, how it tasted, what they could do with it, how they'd prepare it. And they got X amount, and it was sustained life. And for 40 years, they lived on this stuff. And it speaks to us, doesn't it? That Oh, I don't know. We say, oh God, send us revival. Send it, and Lord knows we need it. The nation needs for us to have it. But in between these great events where the Spirit of God blesses the church mightily, and really he blesses the nation where the church is, what happens between those points? Is there nothing? And the answer is God rains upon his people bread from heaven. And it's quiet, and it's almost imperceptible when it comes, but it sustains life, and he keeps his people alive for, lo, all those many years. And so when he says to us in this promise, I will be like the dew to Israel, it carries with it a secondary meaning of it. He's sustaining. He will sustain us. He will care to our needs and minister to our wants that way. Now let me remind you of one more, which is in the 6th chapter of Judges. And you know what that is, right? There's a fellow whom God was going to tap on the shoulder and say, I want you to go do something. And he said, I'm not the man. He said, yes, you are. Well, I've come here to bless Israel. Well, if the Lord is with us, and if he's with me, then why has all this happened? And what's going on? What's wrong? And that fellow's name was Gideon. And the Lord said, I want you to do this, this, this. And Gideon says, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm a pretty timid soul, and things aren't going well here. But then Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me as thou hast spoken, I'm going to put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if there is dew in the fleece only, and it is dry in all the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me as thou hast spoken. And it was so. When he rose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. And then Gideon said to God, well, don't let thine anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry on all the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. What can you make from that? Just that God can speak. He can speak to us. He can confirm his word to us. When he comes among us, ever so quietly, ever so peacefully, he could be in this meeting right now, like the dew, and we could have nothing but question marks, but all of a sudden, we can have an assurance about something. He would be to us that which convinces us about a course of action. He's told us something. We have questions about that. And he can come to us not with a thunderbolt, not with a slap. We wake up, and there's the answer. We know. And God has helped us. And so this thought would too be in the mind of the Israelite when he would be told, I'll be like the dew to Israel. And all these good things. God has spoken so many things. And back in Hosea, if you're still there, going on in where we left off, he said in verse 6, his shoots will sprout. And that's more life, isn't it? It's more growth. His beauty will be like the olive tree, his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again raise grain, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Now, this is just blessing upon blessing that ends up multiplying the nation and God coming upon them in such a way that there is life, just life, abundant life, glorious, fruitful life. Now, one more thing about dew, and we may get to pray a little bit early tonight, but I'm told, I have this on good authority, not Wikipedia, though Wikipedia helped confirm it, that dew will not form in a windy night. Did you know that? Yeah. We're sons of the earth. We know such things. I'm a city boy. It took me a while to learn this. Dew will not form in a windy night. It needs to be still. What does that say to us? When the Lord says, I will be like the dew to Israel, it's almost, it seems, an invitation to be still before the Lord, to get our souls quieted before him. to take the turbulence that's in us, all of us, and the stuff that comes without, and just push it aside. To shut the door and to shut the world out when we do so. To turn off this, to turn off that, to get ourselves so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not describing transcendental meditation here. I'm just saying getting still. And you know how hard that is. It's hard. And then if you're successful, you might just go to sleep. But look, get in the scripture. Have your Bible open. Read the good book of God. Pray with as best you can and get your heart quiet and still before him, that he might come to you in the stillness and the quietness of that experience. I think as long as our lives are just full of noise and ruckus and motion, and you know what that is, it's virtually impossible for the dew to form. So it is an invitation, I believe, for us to get still before God and to know that he is the Lord. Okay. Now let's spend the rest of our time in prayer. So let's pray.